Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. New week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and that's always a good thing for us. We hope you enjoy it as well. Welcome to the show. Broadcasting today from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel, Fruehl crew, Bob, Kelly, and Luke. Glad you're with us this afternoon, wherever you're tuned in. Dickie's Barbecue Pit sponsors the opening segment of our show every day. Today is no exception. Great place to take your family for dinner tonight. Great place to cater this upcoming weekend of conference baseball here in Hattiesburg. Dickie's Barbecue can get it done for you. Golden Eagles win another weekend series. This time they win the first two against the 12-1 Louisiana Tech team. That's at least how it started. The Golden Eagles win the Friday and Saturday game and then drop the Sunday game. Let's find out from head coach Christian Ostrander what he thought about the weekend. Coach, first of all, congratulations. On another weekend series. It started out good Friday night. Let's talk about the 9-4 win. Your first four batters go 9 of 20. They were really productive, and you got a great another great start from Nico Mazza, and then Cross Sibley and McCarty English come in and finish the game off for you. Pretty good Friday night.
Absolutely, it was awesome to see, you know, our offense and those guys swinging the bats aggressively and, you know, finding some loud barrels and the home runs and, you know, and all that stuff. And it was a, you know, it was a good game. It was closer than it might have looked or felt that way anyway, you know, but I was really proud of our guys. And I thought Nico competed really well, navigated a very old lineup. There was 8 seniors and a junior that on that Friday night, and a lot of older guys that, you know, you had to earn it, and we did. I think we only walked one guy that night, and you know, that's the recipe against a good, experienced lineup. You can, you know, minimize those mistakes and freebies. You got a shot, and they did a really good job that night of that.
Yeah, 12 strikeouts, one walk. That's Christian Ostrander baseball right there. And Billy Butler put on quite a show. In fact, when he hit the apartment building with one of his home runs, my daughter called me and said we should name him Billy Bomb Butler. So I thought that was that was a shot, wasn't it, Coach?
Man, it was. That was impressive. That was one of those like going, oh my goodness, you know, everybody say, you heard everybody say it, you know, and when he hit it. So it was it was neat. It was good. Glad for him, and you know, and all the way around, you know, to win on Friday night on the road against a good opponent. That was positive.
Another good game Saturday is your guys win that one 11-3, and closer than I think the score indicates. But nevertheless, another really good game by the Golden Eagles. Another good hitting performance, I thought, by Dalton McIntyre. And I don't know, Coach, I'm not a coach, but it looked like to me that the pitching performance you got out of Billy Odom and Cross Sibley was just how you want to draw it up on the board, right?
Yeah, well, Cross actually came in Friday night behind Mazza.
That's right, Colby.
Colby. No, that was perfect, man. You know, when your starter can get you 6 innings and 3 runs or less, you know, that's called a quality start. And Billy did that again. And I think there's one walk that day, and it was intentional. So, you know, and then, you know, Colby comes in, and he's such a strike thrower, and he just pounded the zone and be able to cover those 3 innings. You know, set you up, you know, well for what you, you know, you hope set you up well for, you know, the Sunday opportunity, feeling like you've got, you know, plenty of options and stuff. But, you know, I was really proud of, you know, of that game, and because it was a closer game than the score ended up being, us a little bit before we got going. And then we, you know, but in order to blow something open, you got to keep it right there. And we were able to do that. And once again, our offense, you know, put together a good inning, you know, later in that game.
Coach, when I watch Billy Odom pitch, it looks like to me that he gets batters confused. I mean, they oftentimes look frustrated when they're batting against him. What is his secret?
He can be very random. You know, there's not just one thing he can do or has to do. He can be, it can be very random. And I think that was a great example the other day. I felt like, you know, I guarantee you, I mean, I'm sure Tech went into that, you know, telling their hitters, you know, fastball, changeup, really, you know, be ready. Well, we were able to really pitch off a slider that day a lot. And you could tell with some of their swings, and they weren't expecting that, you know. And so when you can add, you know, when the identity says it's this, but then you can do this and do it well, that makes it tough. And, that's when those hitters kind of scratch your head and walk back, you know, confused and frustrated. That's
they,
a good thing.
They do look frustrated, don't they, Coach?
They do at times. That's a great guy. It makes you feel good. You know, that makes you feel good as a pitcher and certainly as a pitching coach. You know, seeing guys, you can tell that you got them razzled a little bit. You got them what we call in between. If you get in between, you're in trouble. And because you're not on time with the fastball or this off speed, then, you know, you're going to be pretty easier to pitch to. So that's what we try to do.
All right, so you ice the series Saturday. You've got a 5-1 lead in the game Sunday, and then you have a real sideways inning. One thing you told us last week was that you had a lot of guys you had not yet had a chance to see. We were under the impression that gave you that chance, and that's what you did yesterday. You looked at a lot of pitchers that had not been on the field much. Yes?
I think you got to that point there kind of late that, it was like, you know what, I mean, this is the opportunity to see what they can do because nobody came in, you know, from really the third inning on. I mean, nobody came in and said, hey, I'll stop this. You know, I'll take control of this and so forth. So, you know, you're playing to win the game 100%, but at the same time you go, you can't rely on three or four guys only out of the bullpen every week, or you're going to run them in the ground, and you're not going to have anything at the end. You got to see what some guys can do, and so forth. And yesterday was a great opportunity for some of those guys that got their first, and some of them were okay, some of them weren't very good at all, and that's on them, and they got to be, you know, ready for it. And if I didn't believe in them, if I didn't believe they had the ability or the capability from what they've shown me in lives and stuff like that, I wouldn't have done it. But at the end of the day, you know, when you get in that moment and that fire, you got to be able to slow your breath a little bit and focus and you know, get the job done. But Tech made it hard on us. You know, the momentum really went their way, and we couldn't stop it.
And Coach Ostrander, the fact that you won the first two games and had the series, air quotes, secured, is that why maybe Sunday you had a little bit different attitude as far as, you know, hey, we've got this? How much did already having the series secured have to do with that strategy on Sunday?
Zero.
Okay.
You know, I'm sitting there. I look down. I went to J.W. Armistead, Ben Riley Flowers, Landon Payne, those first three guys. Well, we need those three guys to be able to, you know, go out there and do exactly that. And, you know, when you get two-thirds of an inning out of those three guys, I mean, it just, you know, so we went exactly to who we wanted to and trying to bridge, you know, getting that fourth, fifth, and then give it over to a Chase Adams or a, you know, Chandler Best or, you know, eventually JB. It just, it didn't work that way. They didn't get it done. And, you know, and then once it kind of starts getting sideways there, he said, all right, you know what, let's see what these guys aren't getting it done, let's see what the other guys can do. So I think it's a good opportunity, but it had nothing, going into it, it had nothing to do with that.
And actually, you worked yourself back into the game.
Back down to three runs,
right?
Yep, we sure did. And then, you know, went right back out there and walked the first two hitters and, you know, went to the pen, about got out of it, you know, shoestring catch, not catch in center field would have, you know, you could have got out of that inning, but, you know, it just didn't happen. And, you know, it's disappointing to say the least, especially for me being a pitching coach and the pride I have in our identity and what we want to be. And but, you know, we've been here before, and I've been here before as a coach and dealing with some of these type games, and it's great teaching environments and stuff. So look forward to seeing how these young men can bounce back.
That's the great clear-cut thing about pitching is it's nothing personal. You walk people, you're coming out.
Right.
Still love you.
That's pretty clear on this team.
I mean, you can't defense a walk.
Right. Coach, you don't like walks, do you?
Well, I don't. I think, you know, walks are a byproduct of being passive, and I don't think you can be successful on the mound, you know, sustain success if you're that way. You have to have such a competitive mentality of an attack mode and confidence mode and belief mode. And it's easy to say. It's harder to do. It takes some time. And some of these guys are getting their first taste of it in a hostile environment. You know, I understand that, you know, but we got to grow from it. And that's what's great about this game.
Well, Coach, you took 2 out of 3 from a team that was 12-1, and you've got a 13-1 team coming here tomorrow. It's a good thing we're playing an easy schedule, right, Coach?
Yeah, by design, it's kind of what we wanted to do. And no, it's another great opponent, you know, and we know it's going to be a dogfight. We're going to have to play well. I mean, let's just be honest, and, you know, and so forth. So some of those guys that maybe didn't get it done this weekend on the mound or yesterday, guess what? They better have short memory and be ready to get on the mound and get us some outs and go compete and, you know, and give these guys a handful.
That's right. Let's go play another game. That was my attitude as soon as that one was over yesterday. When we get back, Luke Johnson will join the conversation. Coach Oz kicking off the week on a Monday. Always look forward to these conversations. And this one will continue right after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road this Friday. We'll be at Fuzzy's Tacos to kick off Sunbelt Conference baseball. Looking forward to that. Hope you'll come down and join us and get yourself a great meal at Fuzzy's Tacos. This segment of the show sponsored by Campus Bookmart and CampusBookmart.net on Hardy Street. Be wearing your very best for the opening of conference baseball this weekend. You'll find it at Campus Bookmart. You can also shop it online at campusbookmart.net. Want to say hello as well to Mobe Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, where the beignets are always cooked to order, and they are always delicious. We return to our Monday conversation with Coach Christian Ostrander on the heels of the Golden Eagles going to Ruston, Louisiana, and being a 12-1 Louisiana Tech team, 2 out of 3. Luke Johnson, take it over.
Coach, you know, you got hit with 8-spot yesterday, but one thing I've seen about this team so far is they really haven't laid down in a game. The Indiana State loss was 12-5, just like 7-run deficit yesterday. But, I mean, you got hit in the mouth with that 8-spot, and the guys bounced back offensively. And what was kind of your message, you know, to them after that 8-spot offensively, and how did you think they responded to that?
Well, we knew, you know, still a lot of game to play, and we knew that they were going to either, you know, run out of some arms or going to have to go back to some arms they've already used, which is what they did, and they did a good job. But felt like we could keep scoring some runs, you know, if we could just stop the bleeding somehow, and unfortunately we weren't. You know, you got to have to stop an older, mature offense that gets rolling like they were feeling, get backs against the wall. You got to have somebody come in with the, you know, a little more substance to them and stuff. We just didn't get that done. But, man, I was extremely proud of our offense for continuing to, you know, push the issue a little bit. So all the way around, and, you know, as frustrated and upset as I was after that game, I made sure they know how proud I was of the steps forward we have taken. And, you know, 2 steps up, 1 step back here, there, whatever. But that's baseball, and we're still growing and learning.
Do want to ask you about new position player. We saw our player had played in a different position. Thought last week, you know, we saw Davis Gillespie warming up at first base. He played some at that. Is that a position that we can, you know, expect him to be regular at going forward?
We'll see. I think he's a young bat that we were really excited about getting in there. And you know, and I think he needs the opportunity. And I'm not saying the other guys, you know, won't or who, or is it matchup, you know, left, right, sure. And, you know, things like that. But, you know, just having options, you know, is very important. So, you know, it just helps us to find, you know, try to find out, you know, who are the ones that are you can count on, you know, on a regular basis.
Looking forward to tomorrow night, but also looking back at last week's midweek. Give us your evaluation of Cole Boswell and how he performed in Trustmark.
I thought he handled that environment good. I thought he mixed good. You know, and that's all we're asking, you know, get us out of the gate. And, you know, however many outs that is, get us out as far as you can and give us a chance. And, if they're going to beat you, make them beat you swinging the bat. And, you know, and then we'll try to stack it up and you know, and see if we can't put together another staff game to where we're right there in it and hopefully have a chance to win that thing at the end.
Bob.
Coach, there's two kids, that, and I don't want to keep going back to the same kids, but they just really jump out at me. And the first I want to ask you about is Cross Sibley. It just seems like he started out the opening weekend kind of rough on a Sunday, but, man, he's been locked down and really dependable coming out of the bullpen. Your thoughts about Cross?
Yeah, you know, very, very proud of what Cross has done. He's the first start, it didn't go the way he wanted, and that's fine. And just for me, you know, the way I feel like that he brings so much value, given us a chance to, you know, help us win twice a week by using him in the role we are, and I think that's very important. But he's done a really good job of coming in, and he's just a different look. I mean, he's not the hardest thrower or anything like that, but he's got some funkiness and deception, and he makes it tough on those hitters.
He's done a really good job. And from an offensive standpoint, I mean, could you get much better leadoff play than what you're getting out of Dalton McIntyre at the plate?
Dalton's been great. Like I said, there's times where it might look ugly, but he gets it done. He touches the baseball, and he gets it to where, you know, he can let his speed get him down that line. And that's what's so exciting to me. You know, when you have a guy like that can get the base hits without it getting through the infield, that just brings a whole nother element to it, and it puts pressure on that defense. So, you know, I'm very proud of Dalton, and I'm not surprised. I'm not. I mean, I saw it in the fall. I thought this kid's going to be tough, man. He's going to have it's going to be hard for me to not have him out there. I like his package. I like what he's doing. So, you know, I think he's proven it. He's earned it.
All right, with conference play this weekend, can you say that you're pretty much set on your starting lineup, Coach, or are there still a couple of positions that you're just not 100% sold on yet?
I mean, I think it's I feel good about where we're at. I feel like there's still competition going on, you know, and so forth. So it's I think we're so much closer, and I'm proud of that. And I knew it would take some time with so many new spots open and so forth. I still think we have some really good players that are not in that starting lineup right now that could be. And they just got to keep themselves ready and understand that, you know, things can change quickly and, you know, and just try to keep everybody engaged.
Hot seat question, Coach. Is there any one position defensively that's a little more problematic than others?
I still think, you know, the catching spot is one that you know, we need to be a little better at being able to throw a runner out here and there and just, you know, put some fear, you know, in that running game and so forth. And you know, they're doing a good job. They're all young.
Right.
And they're growing every day and able to get keys in there this weekend. And I thought he handled the moment fine. And so, you know, I like how they're competing. Coach Brewer's doing a great job with them, and, you know, just got to let them grow and mature.
All right, Alabama tomorrow night, 13-1. With all due respect to them, and I'm sure they're an excellent team, I looked at their schedule last night, and I looked at our schedule up until this point, and it's just, you know, it's just a fact. We've played a tougher schedule than they have. I think that's fair to say. But nevertheless, they're good, aren't they, Coach? And they'll be a handful here tomorrow night.
No, there's no doubt. I got their stats right here in front of me, and it looks like they've got the offensive pieces, they've got the pitching pieces, and it's going to be a handful. But that's fine. I mean, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun, and that's what it's about. I mean, you know, it's fun to beat good competition. It's fun to compete against good competition, and you know, so we're going to look it right in the face and get after it and go toe it up and you know, and try to play a solid 27 outs of baseball.
Yeah, and if you don't think schedule matters, the RPI has gone up to 25, Coach Oz. So certainly there's recognition of the type of schedule you've taken on here.
Well, and that's all said and good. You know, what matters is 10 weeks from now and so forth. But, you know, it is. There's not many breaks here. You know, there's not time to experiment. There's not time to whatever. You got to go out there and you play a good game to win with our schedule. You're not going to just walk out there and just beat somebody because you're just better than them. You got to go earn it. So, and that's what it's about. This is a high level of baseball, Division I baseball, and you got to be ready to answer the bell.
All right, Luke, got anything else for Coach before we let
Coach,
him go?
We always want to give you the opportunity, you know, being on here every week. Anything you want to share with Golden Eagle fans? I know you want the Pete looking good tomorrow night and this coming weekend, but anything you want to share with the fan base?
No, just stay with us, man. And you know, we, especially when we're here at home, the energy and the passion y'all bring, it's second to none. And I was on the phone with Coach Vaughn at Alabama this morning, and one of his things he said, he haven't been there yet, but I've heard from so many people about how awesome the environment is there and how special it is, just everything about it. And so I said, yeah, you're right. Y'all will see it. And I think he'll be impressed. So that's the reputations, and that reputation is because of you, the fans. And we just ask that you continue to come support and get rowdy, have fun, and, you know, we're going to do the best, go out there and make you proud.
And when all these coaches hear that across the country, they want to come here, you know?
Certainly. I've heard players through the years talk about how much fun it was for them to come here and play. And that's what you want in it, Coach. You want good teams coming here. We want good competition every weekend, and we want a big, rowdy crowd.
We do. We do. And that speaks volumes when you hear that. And real quick, I'll share this. You know, Coach Hanna's from Indiana State. You know, I was talking with him before one of the games, and he said how he talked with the coach from Illinois that told him they were friends. And he said, hey, you need to go. You need to go down to Hattiesburg at Southern Miss and play a week. And it's unbelievable. It's a great environment and stuff. And so that's, you know, that's how the word spreads and stuff. So our fans and this place and this environment really, really makes an impact.
We're especially kind to the bullpen of the other teams, Bob.
Yeah, very nice. They're very nice.
Yes, that's good. That's good fun. That's good fun down there.
Coach, thanks very much for your time, sir. We look forward to watching the guys tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Appreciate y'all.
All right, Coach Christian Ostrander. But yeah, they're very kind. They talk to them about their mothers and all kinds of stuff. It's amazing.
Well, it's a family environment, right?
Yeah, what's great about that, too, all of our little baseball players behind the right field wall, they throw baseballs at them. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, exactly.
I want all of that to continue.
If they
people
ever,
out there.
If they ever start beating us, we might have to start telling those kids to throw rocks.
Right.
Hey, you know, Eagle Post has our RPI at, like, you know, 582 today after we lost yesterday.
It was a nuclear meltdown. There was no question about that. But did we not expect that? God almighty. We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank Coach Oz for joining us, as he does every Monday. We'll have Coach Travis Creel on the show Wednesday. And I look outside, and the sun came up, and there's some blue sky, and the world hasn't ended because the Golden Eagles lost a Sunday game, Kelly.
Blue skies shining on me.
Can I say this again as a general encouragement? And I really think, maybe I haven't, I really think I'm on to a little something here. Other fan bases maybe don't react the same way because they're not as passionate as Southern Miss fans. I get that. I'm thankful for that. But you can – I've said it, the last 2 weeks. You can't consume baseball like you consume other sports. You can't watch baseball like you watch other sports because you'll be turning the game off like 8 times a game, you know? Error, unearned run. 3 spot. Yesterday, some people turned it off after an 8 spot. And so you lose perspective that this is a marathon. And if you stumble or trip in mile 3, you're going to quit. You know, you don't give up on the race. You keep running. And so I think there's something to that. And I've had to do that myself. And, you know, my dad and I were talking over the weekend. He made a good point. You know, he can be like that sometimes. And he said, listen, we've struggled in football. We struggled in basketball, and we're really good in baseball. He said, and right. So, you know, being a Southern Miss fan for 70 of his 75 years, he just, when we're really good at something, there's an expectation there, which I'm thankful for. Right. But don't consume baseball like you consume the other sports.
4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. It's a great place to have lunch, great place to take in ball games, and just a great place to meet your friends. They're right there in the shadow of the rock. All right, now, Luke, I debated about this. I thought about this all morning, and my first inclination was to let this go. But now I don't think I can. While many of us last night were maybe watching Major League Baseball, maybe we were going over the stats of
where'd you watch Major League Baseball?
Well, let me finish. Or going over the stats of the Southern Miss series over the weekend, or maybe taking in a good movie with the wife or something. Our man Kelly Santer, Luke Johnson, and Eagle Hour listeners, was at an Oscar watch party.
Such a cultured individual. Is this the only cultural area of your life, Santer?
I didn't even win.
Eminem Oscar watch party.
You know, we filled out our ballots and all that kind of stuff. And I normally do pretty good at this stuff because I'm a big movie buff. Mm-hmm. But I didn't do very well.
Really?
I didn't do very well.
I don't know what shocks me more, that you were at an Oscar party or you freely admit it to people. You don't say, Bob, don't say nothing about that, Bob.
Well, I don't.
Hold on. You had like a fantasy baseball Oscars draft when you're talking about ballots?
Oh, yeah.
We there were like 15 people there.
So y'all voted for like best actor, best movie, best soundtrack.
Yeah,
best
director. There were 23 categories in all, and I think I only got like 13 right.
Were you wearing shorts and sandals and, you know, that kind of woke little attire?
I was wearing a dress designed by Oscar De La Renta.
Were you? I bet you look really smashing at it too, dude. No, I know. You wore your tin man suit, didn't you?
My tinfoil sport coat.
Did you wear that?
Yeah. How did you know that? This is the third time you've mentioned it, and I think you're jealous, Bob, that you didn't get to go. Cody Sikora, by the way, won.
Thank God.
He got 21 out of 23 right.
Thank God Cody got that. You know, I'm so glad. I was worried about that.
But can I go back to...
did you just name another man that was at that party? Did you out the guy that was at the Oscar party?
There were several men at the party.
What was your batting average?
Let's see, 13 for 23. So it's a little over 500.
Now, Sassy, I can't picture Jody Lott at an Oscar watch party. You know, a real baseball guy.
Real man.
I can't
real
either.
Manly man.
Jody,
I can't
text either. Us, Jody, if you're listening, and let us know if you'll attend Kelly's next.
But
do you have like a Tony watch party and what's the TV award?
You got the Emmys and
do you have a watch party for
Golden Globes?
Do you watch all those?
The SAG Awards, the BAFTA Awards, which are the British
version. For the half of a person that's interested in this conversation.
Correct.
Right now,
and I'm trying
throw them a bone and tell them your biggest surprise from last night.
What was it, Kelly?
Emma Stone winning Best Actress for Poor Things. I thought she should have won. But
was
she
in A Quiet Place, the horror movie?
But I didn't. I don't know.
I thought you were a movie guy.
Well, I am, but I was studying this year's crop, Bob.
Okay.
But I didn't think she would win. I thought Lily Gladstone would win for Killers of the Moon Pie.
You know, I did too. I've got to bet the farm on Lily. How about you, Luke? I was shocked Lily didn't win.
He's not
going to
say anything at all. Listen.
I see.
All right.
What do you think about the naked guy?
Even the device cannot help me out right now.
What about the naked guy? Did that get you pumped up?
John Cena?
New subject. New subject.
That was because the 50th anniversary of the guy streaking in 1974. You have to be an Oscar fan, Bob, to remember that.
I'm sorry.
But I want to go back to two things that Coach Oz said. Number one.
You want to get off this?
No. Before I forget them, at my age, you know, my train of thought gets derailed rather easily. Number one, I asked them a question about any problematic position. Okay? It would be real easy for any coach to say, no, we're good. You know,
he didn't, did he?
No, he didn't. And again, we have the responsibility to ask the questions, but the coaches know they can answer it however they
want. I'm not trying to derail your process, but a big thing happened this weekend. We pulled the red shirt off Jacob Keys. for Brandon. It was a true freshman. It's two true freshmen we played this year at the catching position. I mean, that's big news.
And the fact that he said the catching position.
So there's not a red shirt rule in baseball like there is in football that you can play X number of games and still save your red shirt. Does anybody know that?
I don't know it off the top of my head.
The device shall tell us very shortly, but I don't think there is.
Get on the device, would you?
And while he's looking at that, the other thing I wanted to say about what Coach Ostrander said, and this is a direct shot at travel baseball and travel softball parents. You heard Coach Ostrander say that all these guys are continuing to compete for playing time. When you know that you're only as good as your last performance, and you know that there's two guys on that bench that are every bit as good as you, it makes you better. It makes you compete. It makes you continue to work hard. These travel baseball and travel softball teams that have only 9 or 10 players, and if they don't perform, they're not stupid. These kids are not stupid. They look at the bench and go, well, there's nobody to replace me. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do well. I don't have to play hard. I don't have to get better.
All I need is for mom and dad to write that check.
But they're not going to get better unless they are pushed, unless they are challenged.
All right, 3 minutes left in the segment. I don't let this get by because we talked about it last week a lot. The girls' season, women's season ended over the weekend. They took it on the chin in the final game. Kelly, how do you explain playing so well one game and then the next game? And I don't take anything against the opponent. I mean, they were obviously the superior team, but looked like two different basketball teams.
They did, and very similar to the men, they got behind the eight ball early. I mean,
bad.
And just could not, just could not recover. And you have to, we're looking at, we talked about tournament play. James Madison has both the women who beat Southern Miss.
Right.
So they're in the finals. They're going to play Marshall, which those probably are two of the best teams in the Sun Belt on the women's side. But on the men's side, James Madison is 30-3, and they're playing the red-hot Arkansas State Red Wolves, who really have just gotten red-hot. The reason I mention that is if Arkansas State happens to upset JMU, JMU is 30-3 right now. If Arkansas State would pull that upset on the men's side, you could have a 30-4 James Madison men's team sitting at home.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is.
It's unbelievable.
And that's to say,
you don't think they would get in the first four?
No, I don't. I mean, and Bob, you and I were talking earlier in one of the Donnie Tindall years here at Southern Miss.
30 wins.
I think the Eagles amassed 30 wins, and they didn't get a sniff from the NCAA tournament.
They were like the fifth seed in the NIT.
When back then you could get into the NIT.
Yeah.
The way that they've changed the selection criteria now, that's not even going to happen.
Well, both the men and the women's basketball team, and I think this needs to be said, they overcame a lot of oddities this year. Illnesses for both coaches, that has a big, that's probably immeasurable impact on a basketball team or a sports team. Injuries, and all in all, they battled through it. Nobody got the season ending that they wanted. I think it's fair to say the ladies, a little better season. I think they had a good season. The men finished right at 500, if not 500. Put this one in the books, guys, and get ready for next year. I think that's all you can do, all you can say.
And losing a lot, man. Losing a lot.
Yeah, yeah. But as
we should mention both Dom Davis and Austin Crowley for the two trophies tonight, and Dom should win the Gillum Trophy. I don't understand.
Who's the player from Ole Miss? That'll be the winner.
The husband girl from Mississippi State actually has better stats. She's a good rebounder, and that I think that if Dom doesn't win, she'll lose to the Mississippi State basketball player, Jessica Husband, I think is her name. But yeah, I mean, Dom should win. You can't average 20 points a game and not be called the best women's basketball player in the state of Mississippi.
But because of the transfer portal and everything, too, you're probably looking at almost completely new rosters next year
every
for both
year,
teams.
Every team. Isn't that right?
Especially us.
Yeah. We'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
The Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment brought to you by DBAT in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com on Hardy Street. Great pro shop, instruction, batting cages. It's all at DBAT in Hattiesburg. Before we went to the break, told you Austin Crowley, finalist for the Howell Trophy tonight. Dominique Davis, a finalist for the Gillum Trophy tonight. Did not get the young lady from Mississippi State name correct. It's Jessica Carter. And this is Marquisha Davis is from Ole Miss. She's averaging a little over 13 points. But so Dom's averaging 19.8 a game for this season. Jessica Carter from Mississippi State averaging a double-double, 14.7 points a game, 10.1 rebounds. If Dom doesn't win it, then probably the Jessica Carter from Mississippi State will. But 20 points a game. Come on.
Well, look, if Dom doesn't win it, there's not going to be a Southern Miss woman to ever win it. I mean, there's with a resume like she's got over the years, and I know it's supposed to be like a season trophy, but come on. I mean, she's just been one of a kind.
Yep. Beach volleyball, Southern Miss loses to Long Beach State, Loyola Marymount, Santa Clara, and then lost to Cal Poly. So it was a tough weekend for the Lady Eagles on the sand. They will get back on the sand, the Sugar Beach Bash in Youngsville, Louisiana, this coming Friday. Mentioned to you, of course, Christian Ostrander visited with us. Southern Miss takes two of three from Louisiana Tech. Across the Sun Belt, Georgia State and Army played four games, and they split those two games each. East Tennessee State takes two of three from James Madison. App State and Winthrop win a game each. The third game, or the middle game, I should say, game two was canceled. Northeastern takes two out of three from ODU and Norfolk. Coastal Carolina sweeps Michigan out in South Carolina. Michigan had them on the ropes, and Coastal won game one in extra innings. South Al loses to Nebraska out in Lincoln. The Huskers take two of three from the Jags. Marshall sweeps Southeast Missouri State at home. Georgia Southern sweeps Radford at home. ULM, Fed gets a sweep. They defeat Alabama A&M. Monroe wins those three games. In the Battle of Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns take two of three from the Tulane Green Wave. Archie State takes two of three from Eastern Illinois. Troy took two of three from Indiana on the road. And kind of the shocker of the week, Texas State gets swept at home by Sam Houston. That was Sam Houston's a good club, but Texas State gets swept at home. All right, breaking news. You ready from the NFL? You ready?
Let's go.
Kirk Cousins.
Where's he going?
To the ATL.
I told you.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
I told you. You guys laughed at me. Well, when don't you laugh at me? But you especially laughed at me last week when I said I think he's going to Atlanta. Because, you know, Bob, the ATL.
You and the ATL are tied.
Yeah.
You've found COVID there twice.
And I'm not looking for a third time. Let
of course,
me tell you that.
The other breaking news over the weekend, Russell Wilson signing a one-year deal with the Steelers, and Baker Mayfield gets, it's a three-year deal an extension with the Bucks.
$115 million.
Yep. Now for our fans that are so distraught about yesterday, I want to point out something. We've all heard of LSU baseball, right? LSU played Xavier, Ohio over the weekend, and they beat them the first two games. And yesterday, Xavier beat LSU at Alex Box Stadium in Baton Rouge 12-1. So if that can happen to LSU, why do our fans freak out so when we win a series and then lose the third game?
Especially since I thought Xavier was in New Orleans. I thought Xavier
hey. Yeah. Guess who Louisiana Tech lost to in a midweek last week? Their first loss of the season.
Xavier.
They lost to Xavier.
Right.
Yeah.
So Xavier came through, beat Louisiana Tech, beat LSU a game, and went back to Ohio. And I think it just shows what Luke said is true. It's a marathon, dude. And, it, you know, you're just going to have setbacks, and you let them bounce off your shoulder and move on.
And I know that coaches say they don't look at these polls, and they don't. But the one number you bet they look at,
the RPI,
is RPI. Because if you know, if you don't get that automatic bid, that RPI.
What scheduling does. We've gone 500, really, the last couple of 3 weeks, and our RPI has jumped from down into like 130 to 25.
That's another
one. Yeah, we went up 80 spots this weekend. Southern Miss 24th. And the reason for that is Missouri State is 11th, and Indiana State is 33rd right now. Well, so the Eagles at 10-6 are 24. By the way, Bob, the device says that one play in baseball takes up a red shirt, unless, of course, the athlete were to suffer a season-ending injury, they could appeal for a medical red shirt.
Why are the rules so different for college baseball?
Well, we could always send those, if we wanted red shirts, many of our guys,
because
we could send them to the ATL. They can get COVID.
What sport makes the most money? What sport makes the most money?
Football.
What schools make the most money?
Football teams. Alabama.
No, I mean, like, what conferences, right?
Oh, yeah, Big Ten,
yeah,
SEC.
Yeah, with the NCAA, there's always special rules for whatever makes the most money, schools or sports. Yeah,
right.
That's for sure.
Special exceptions.
That's for sure.
Hey, let's get Daniel Stewart on the show tomorrow.
We'll do that.
Okay.
I think he's going to be remote. I think he's in the – well, I think he's out of town, but he's definitely going to be on the show. Yeah.
I guarantee you he didn't have an Oscars party.
He didn't.
That's probably
why. He was doing manly thing.
That's probably
right. He was watching baseball last night, Kelly.
That's why he's working remote. He doesn't even want to come in here.
Because he knows you had an Oscar party.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it to rub off. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock unless Kelly's tied up with an Emmy ceremony of some sort.
And the winner is?
Yes. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.